You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. First up this week, summer is back. No, not the season. Just my favorite Miles and Points and mommy and family blogger. She joins me to talk about the changes that Hyatt announced last week. Plenty of good stuff to go around here. A couple of bits and pieces that we'll want to get into a little bit deeper. Then Jen is back for another deal segment covering a somewhat surprising credit card offer that we don't see too often. And finally, David Feldman is also back on the show to help out one of our listeners with a question on how to hunt for award tickets. As you guys know, we love helping more people travel better, and that begins with you. If you're enjoying the show, share it with a friend, and be sure to drop us a line and let us know who we should have on for future episodes and what questions we can help you answer. You can email me at ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, by searching for Miles to Go. We'll step away for a brief moment, be back with Summer on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with my buddy, Summer, Mommy Points. How are you, Summer?
Hi, Ed. Crazy, crazy time of year, but great and magical.
Yes, all of those things wrapped into one. And we've got Hyatt changes, which is something that you and I like to talk about frequently. And, you know, I'm not gonna try and steal your thunder, but I'll say, you know, just as a quick preface, I think that these are, you know, largely positive.
Yeah, I mean, okay, we all hold our breath when there's like a press release coming out of embargoed news or whatever about a loyalty program making changes.
Yep.
Because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
These really, they were good for most normal travelers who stay at Hyatts. You didn't lose much of anything. There's one little nuance we'll get to in a second. But on the whole, you didn't lose anything. The only thing that happened was some perks were added. And some perks are now earned a little faster. So if you use your points or use your cash and stay at Hyatts, you're going to now start getting meaningful perks at 20 nights a year in the form of 2 lounge upgrade awards, which really can save a family a ton of money at some of these resorts especially. So that's really a big deal in my world. The person who may lose in this scenario is the one who matched status to Hyatt. MLife is a popular example. If you have MLife Gold or above status, that's the MGM casino program in Vegas largely. But if you have status in that program via some method, and there's many methods to do that, and you are matching that status to Hyatt Explorist each year, just doing that alone no longer triggers those lounge upgrade certificates because they're now tied to nights within Hyatt's program. So those people are going to lose when this ultimately kicks in. Those who are globalist and were qualifying with 55 nights a year or re-qualifying with 55 nights a year will lose because you've now got to have 60 every year. But it's a minor loss because there's more ways to earn nights now with Hyatt with their revamped credit card. So on the whole, this was great news. The only real losers are the ones who are matching to their Hyatt status.
Yeah, and on the 55 versus 60 nights thing, I heard some chatter on this as well. And I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I understand nobody likes a negative change. But I think, you know, when I think about Hyatt, and yes, I am a Hyatt homer, no question. But when I think about Hyatt, and the credit card's a great example of a way to chew up nights quickly with spend. But on the flip side of it too, like when you and I first started having conversations about Hyatt, they were almost 500 properties big. And yeah. they're they're $750, $760 now. And then you've got the small luxury hotels, 54 properties. You've got Two Roads Hospitality, which is likely to close next year, which will probably add another – they're not going to add all 70, it sounds like, so probably 50 or 60 properties there. And there's still 450 SLH properties that could get added to the mix. So, I mean, we really could be – and also, too, Hyatt's opening, call it 15 to 20 properties a quarter, new hotels. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm to say that Hyatt is 1,000 to 1,200 property umbrella next year. And I understand that's not, you know, almost 7,000 for Marriott, but they're in so many more markets than they used to be.
Oh, totally. I think that some of the people who have resistance from the 55 to 60 probably just still aren't fully over losing 25 nights or 25 stays. I'm sorry.
For sure.
Qualifying you. And I could be in that camp. I mean, I love qualifying for things on stays, and because my stays are short, I can do a one night stay and then, you know, qualify on 25 to 30 nights a year that way. So, you know, it stings those people who were already barely there and now have to be even a little bit more barely there, but you're totally right. Their footprint is expanding. And for folks like me who like to leverage their rewards cards to do the hard work, being able to rack up Hyatt Elite qualifying nights just by using your credit card is a trade-off I'm happy to make.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a trade-off I'm happy to make as well, because it gives people a lot of flexibility. And I think, too, you know, if we just take a step back, and I understand a lot of folks in this hobby don't like taking a step back, but no. if we just ease back just a little bit, I mean, let's look at the competitive landscape here. I think the most reasonable comparison for elite benefits given to members is Marriott. You know, certainly you could argue that Hilton and IHG are players in the space, but I think I'd argue that there's just a pretty big gap in terms of the benefits being delivered. There's rumbles that Hilton's going to try and ramp stuff up. But for now, let's use Marriott as the most reasonable comparison. And to get to their top tier status, which I don't believe is as rewarding as Hyatt's, you need 75 nights. So, you know, understand bigger footprint. But I mean, when we're talking about how many nights people spend away, 75 nights is just tough unless you're a hardcore business traveler.
Yeah. And I'm coming from the perspective of someone who is doing one final qualification for Marriott status via Starwood.
Right.
So again, I'm hitting that on stays. So yeah, but once that's no longer an option after this year, then yeah, I think those are the two you can line up closest to each other. And I totally agree that Hyatt has better perks. And like, let's be honest, Marriott is a hot mess of a trash can on fire. I can't even get the words out. Their program has a ton of problems right now that have not been fully fleshed out after the integration. And so there are a lot of asterisks next to that if you're going to be going out of your way to qualify with them, which I am. But I'm also in a ton of fights with them for points that are missing. So Hyatt, thankfully, has a much cleaner IT system right now. And that's not saying a ton, but it's an easier program to work with on the whole than the integrated Marriott program right now.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going for one more year of Marriott status. If I had 9 stays that had not posted correctly to my account.
Oh my God.
I've been told that they're all there now. But I think I might still be missing one. So I got to go out and chase a night here somewhere. But that's also, you know, 7 nights that disappeared somewhere in the ether earlier in the year. So I think the way I look at this is if 60 nights for Hyatt is not the right path for you, my gut would be to tell people to look to Hilton at this point, because at least you've got a 30 stay path to Diamond status. And I don't think Diamond is as rewarding, but for somebody who's not traveling hardcore, 30 stays is achievable, where 75 nights may just be out of the ballpark.
And what Ed means to say there is get the Hilton Aspire card and get your Diamond status that way. That card really is massively underrated for what it can do, not just in terms of Hilton Elite status, but with the other built-in perks of the card and the credits it includes. It's a pricey card, but if you are a Hilton traveler, even a moderate Hilton traveler, it will absolutely pay for itself. So just get that card. Don't even worry about it.
Well, we all know that Summer is a much better credit card ninja than Ed is.
You're getting there though. Like you're
inch by, Inch by inch.
But the other side of this is, you know, I mentioned it kind of at the opening, but if you are a traveler with Hyatt who does have some regular stays, but not 60 or 70 or 80 nights a year, I still think that this made the program better for you. Being able to get your hands on those club upgrade certificates at 20 nights isn't bad. And if you're going to use those for two family vacations, you can be saving hundreds of dollars in food and drinks and having just a better all over experience just with those two upgrade lounge certificates.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm going to take it a step further because, as you may know, I travel way too much. And I think that Hyatt really improved things in a meaningful way. I'm not gonna say it's like great and wonderful and, you know, rainbows and kittens, but I really think in a meaningful way, they improve things for folks that are approaching globalist. And I say approaching, meaning either they're going to get close or they're going to hit it. So at 40 nights now, you get your choice of 5,000 bonus points. Don't choose that one, or a $100 Hyatt gift card. And this is a completely new benefit. So I think this is a nice spiff for somebody who's on their way to 50 or 60 nights, and they're going to pick up a $100 gift card on the way at 40 nights that they never used to get before. And then the other change that I think I actually like even a little bit more, just because I use the suite upgrade awards, and I think they're so valuable. At 50 nights now, you're still getting the same number of suite upgrade awards if you get to Globalist. But if you can only get to 50 nights, you're getting two suite upgrade awards at 50 nights, similar to what Summer brought up about getting two club lounge access awards early. And I like this for two reasons. For the person that's going to come up short, you still get a little taste of the best benefit of the globalist status, which is your suite upgrade award. For the person that's going to hit globalist, if you've already used up your four from last year, you're going to get to 50 nights, obviously, sooner than you're going to get to 60, which gives you more time to use two of the upgrade awards, which I love that flexibility.
Yeah, it is really, really nice that they start putting those some of those in your virtual pocket a little bit sooner, because, as you know, on family vacations, they can be just as valuable as those lounge certificates.
Well, yeah, they can save you a second room in some cases, which is, you know, just a ton of points. And, you know, the nice thing is with the change in expiration date of these, you know, they rolled out, you know, 7-8 months ago. You still have through the end of the following year, if you will, to use them up. So if you qualify, if you hit 50 early, you get even more time to be able to potentially use these. So, you know, I definitely love how they've really, you know, put some nice ladder, some rungs on the ladder for folks who are moving their way to loyalty. And I would guess that these are, you know, meaningful for folks in two ways. You know, one, you know, if you can only get to 40 or 50 nights, that's a nice bump. But I think too, it's, you know, if your first time coming over and you get to 50 nights and you get to use one of these suite upgrade awards, it's a good incentive to book more business with Hyatt.
100%. I mean, looking at it from a business perspective, putting in an incentive every 10 nights, basically, once you get to 20, makes so much sense to keep people bringing their business back to Hyatt. Because, you know, if you've got one or two more trips and it wasn't going to get anything else for you at Hyatt, you know, maybe you wouldn't book there. But if for every 10 nights, there's another meaningful award waiting for you, that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. I think it offers just a little bit more for folks at a bunch of different places. It allows Hyatt to attract folks who are tweeners in a very interesting way, and still addresses above the 60 night thresholds. You know, they've still got the 70, 80, 90, and 100 night thresholds where you can earn more bonus points or more suite upgrades. You know, I'm hoping not to earn any of those tiers next year.
Amen.
No offense, Hyatt. But I think it's great there too for Road Warrior. So as you say, from 20 nights on up, there's something that you can earn every 10 nights that puts something in your pocket. If I were to say like my biggest, you know, downside prediction to this, and you brought up a good comment about you know, about folks who are status matching from M Life, but my gut tells me in a boom economy, until things turn down again, the rungs of the ladder every 10 nights, if you will, is probably also another reinforcement that we're not going to get huge, wonderful, rewarding quarterly promotions because Hyatt's consistently going to be putting small gifts in our pocket.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we both know we probably weren't getting those huge quarterly rewards anyway. Hyatt hasn't had a really exciting bonus in quite some time now. So, you know, hopefully they'll throw something at us through the year in terms of bonuses we can register for. But hey, at least knowing these things are here can help people with planning out their stays.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I can't think of the last hotel promo across any of the chains where I was truly excited by it and it moved business. I've, you know, I've stayed with mostly Hyatt and Starwood, and none of the other promotions have really caused me to move business as of the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's probably mostly true for me. There's been a couple that have popped up that I've been like, wow, this really isn't bad if I had a need for it. But I don't know that I've actually acted on any in the recent history.
Any last thoughts on the Hyatt changes?
I'm just so thankful that we are talking about these Hyatt changes with a smile on our face. that's a holiday gift in and of itself these days. So well done, Hyatt. These changes are good for most of us. You know, not so great if you're matching into your Explorer status, but at least we have some notice. It's not going to hurt you immediately. So yeah, not bad.
Well, I'd like to say that we're happy to have you back on again to talk changes. I would say that the next thing that's most likely to come up is some other disturbance from Marriott. So let's pencil in our calendars, guys, that you're going to hear Summer back on again in the next 2 or 3 weeks, because I'm sure there's going to be something about Marriott that we can discuss.
Oh my gosh, maybe I'll learn how to say trash can on fire by then. But yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Hey, listen, when you're not hanging out with me here on the podcast, tell folks where they can find you.
Yeah, I am writing over on The Points Guy at TPG Family just about every day. And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Mommy Points.
Awesome. Safe travel, Summer. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like, and we're talking about something today that I don't see very often. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Ed. How are you today?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
So, you know, normally I don't think of upgrading a credit card as a way to earn points. And normally I tell folks, you know, if they're looking for a sign-up bonus, they're likely going to have to cancel a card and reapply for what they want. But it sounds like you sort of stumbled into a better path there.
Absolutely. So I agree with you that typically the upgrade offers are pretty poor, you know, 1,000 points, maybe 5,000 points for upgrading, something so minimal that it's not worth it. You're better off canceling, reapplying. But actually earlier this year when Marriott launched their new Rewards Premier Plus credit card, they were offering folks a pretty decent incentive to upgrade. At the time, it was anywhere between like 10,000 and 50,000 points. I personally at that time was offered 20,000 points. And I wasn't eligible to actually apply for the card because I had the old version of the card. So some credit card companies are now putting in place some restrictions where if you have the old version, you no longer can apply for the new version. So you have to cancel and then reapply. And the Marriott credit card actually is my longest standing credit card that I have. So I really didn't. Yeah. Funny enough. So I actually did not want to cancel and kind of lose that credit history. And I was very much intrigued by this upgrade offer. At that time, though, I did not want to upgrade. I was kind of holding off to see if maybe a better offer would come out. But I also risked that maybe I would lose that 20,000 point offer. And I held out until just recently. And I actually saw that it was no longer 20,000 points for my account. It was now 50,000 points. And I kind of applied right away, upgraded it. And all I had to do is make one purchase. It could be for a penny. Doesn't matter. All you have to do is make one purchase and I'll get those 50,000 points for upgrading the credit card, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I know the actual new referral, the new offer is for 75,000 points. So yes, I'm, you know, losing 25,000 points, but I don't have to meet the minimum spend to get it. And now I also won't lose my credit history with them. And I don't have to worry about the Chase 524 rules or anything. So it's kind of as if you just replacing your card and the history comes along with you. No credit check, no ding on your credit report, no new sign-up bonus affecting other credit cards you can apply for. So it's worked well for me.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing here is if I think about you know, families out there who are looking to travel that don't have a lot of ways to generate spend on a credit card, if they already have this version of the Marriott Visa, then the upside here is, you know, as you say, you're leaving a little bit on the table with points, but you're not having to hit a minimum spending target. And while I like to say it's easy to hit those minimum spending targets, the reality is that not every family has a small business that they can use to generate points, or, you know, maybe they don't want to deal with having to buy gift cards and move them around. So being able to score 50,000 points on an upgrade offer with no minimum spend, that's pretty easy for a family to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. The new cars should come in a few days, and I'll go ahead, make one quick purchase, and I'll see the 50,000 points probably within a few weeks of my statement closing. So I'm pretty excited about it. And 50,000 points is awesome within Marriott. You know, that's a free hotel night for the most part, if not more, you know, depending on where I'm looking to use it. So that I'm excited about.
Yeah, 50,000 points for perspective for those out there from a family travel standpoint. While I wouldn't consider this the best value in the world per se, but the Dolphin and Swan, which are two on-site properties at Disney World that I've stayed at frequently on the SPG side, those are now 50,000 Marriott rewards points per night, to give folks perspective on what that amount of points was worth. And so just to clarify too, I know we've got a link to it in your post, but this offer pops up inside when you log into your Chase Marriott account, correct? Not your Marriott Rewards account.
So in my blog post, there's like this catch-all link that Chase has where you can actually put in any Chase credit card you have, that maybe there's a higher, you know, new credit card that's been rolled out. And all you do is enter your last name, your zip code, and the last three digits of the card that you're looking for. So if it's for Marriott, just look at the last three digits of your credit card, you put it in, and it will generate the new offer. So that doesn't mean you're obligated to apply or anything. It'll just show you the offer, and you can do this for many cards. Like if you have Hyatt, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what other credit cards are out there that have been enhanced in the past years, but there are definitely a few out there, IHG. So you can go ahead and put it in and see what your new offer would be.
I should have known Jen would have a super, super secret way to find out all the greatest deals I know nothing about. So that's why you need to keep an eye on your blog.
Absolutely. So in a few things, I just want to point out, they're saying that, you know, these upgraded offers are only through the end of the year. So if you're interested, make sure, you know, to check out your offer by December 31st. And the whole reason why I wanted, aside from the bonus points, the reason why I wanted this new increased the plus card version of it is that the free night award that comes with the credit card will now be capped at a 35,000 point property, not a 25,000 point property. So while you can't use it at the Dawn of the Swan, there are still many other much better category 35,000 points out there than 25,000 points. And the card only costs $10 more a year. So that's definitely worth that higher level category, which is great.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. I like this offer. I don't have the regular Marriott Rewards Visa, but you know, it would be a total no-brainer for me to upgrade cards for 50,000 points with no spend requirement. Jen, thanks a bunch. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Thank you. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, also via social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything at dealswelike.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Jen. Safe travels.
Thanks again.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about my other podcast, the Now Boarding Podcast. It's the official boarding area podcast, and it's where we dive in and get to know each of the boarding area bloggers that you follow with a 30-minute sit-down where we go deep into how they like to travel, why they started traveling, and the sort of things that they're an expert on. Each episode focuses on one individual blogger, and we put out a new episode every Tuesday. So if you're enjoying Miles to Go and you want to find more great travel bloggers to follow along with, tune in. You can find Now Boarding on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and I'm bringing on David Feldman with me from Catch It Loyalty again, because we had a reader question, or a listener question as it were, come in from someone who's got a great trip planned to Australia next year, but needs a little bit of help, and that's where our resident Australia expert comes in. Dave, thanks for being back on the podcast with me.
Thanks, Ed. Great to be back.
Yeah, so let's tee up Kathy's question here. We talked a little bit about before jumping on the air, but just for the listeners, Kathy was able to book 3 tickets to Sydney next year using her Chase Ultimate Rewards points, which we love to hear. They've got some plans to fly in country and they haven't had any luck finding award tickets yet. And so they've talked about a few different places they want to go, including Melbourne is one of the possible places that they're trying to score award tickets to. So let's walk through what her options might be, whether it's award tickets or maybe some other airlines that might offer cheap flights in between different cities in Australia.
Sure. No, I think it's a great question, Ed. And, you know, obviously everyone wants to fly to Australia and it's obviously pretty tough, but hey, great work, Kathy, on getting those award tickets in the first place, because that's usually pretty tough. With Chase Ultimate Rewards, of course, one of the most popular redemptions there is to, you know, use your redeem on United, which is great because sometimes you can get those multiple reward seats, much tougher on Qantas or American. The problem, of course, is once you get to Australia, there's no Star Alliance partner for United. So trying to tag on domestic Australian flights as part of that award, or even, you know, using the excursionist perk, it's just not going to work in Australia like that. Now, a little simpler if you're, say, redeeming American miles and tagging on a domestic Qantas flight. But again, you need to have that award availability. So traveling within Australia, you essentially have four airlines. You have Qantas and Virgin Australia, which are essentially your full-service carriers. And then you have Tiger, which is a low-cost carrier owned by Virgin. And you have Jetstar, which is the low-cost carrier owned by Qantas. So realistically, you have Qantas and you have Virgin. Virgin is a partner with Delta, and Qantas being Oneworld, so a partner with American, but also a partner with Alaska and British Airways, which obviously if you've got some Avios sitting in an account there, that could be helpful for domestic Australia flights. Just on that, the for those listeners that remember the sweet spot with the Avios for the short haul, point redemptions, they still exist in Australia. So whilst it got eliminated in the US, you can still redeem that award level within Australia. But finding availability can sometimes be a bit tough. The way I would usually go about it, Ed, and it really depends where you want to travel. So, for example, if you're Melbourne to Sydney and vice versa, is like going New York DC or San Francisco to LA. It is a really, really popular route. I mean, Qantas, for example, during the week, they have departures going every half an hour, sometimes every 15 minutes during peak business travel time. So there are a lot of flights. It can be cheap because there's a lot of flights. It can also be super expensive if it's a heavy business travel period.
Sure.
Or school vacation time as well is going to be busy if you're trying to do something like getting up to Cairns or Ayers Rock or the Gold Coast. Really popular leisure destinations is going to be tough there as well. So a couple of other, a couple of strategies that I would personally use when looking for flights, and starting with, hey, I want to book an award flight. The first thing I'd probably do is either use the Qantas website or Expert Flyer to look for Qantas awards, typically. And for Qantas awards, obviously, you need U-class space. So if you're just using Expert Flyer and you just tick for business class redemption or economy class, if that's what you want, which is going to be X-class, you'll find those award seats pop up. Qantas, it's kind of like feast or famine. Sometimes on domestic flights, there'll be pretty much everything available if you're booking some period of time out to the future. Other times you can be looking and there's just going to be nothing, especially around, again, school vacation time is going to be tough. Christmas, January holidays, remember that summertime in Australia? That's going to be tough as well. A couple of things with Qantas to be aware of. Number one is if you look on Qantas.com, you may find availability for award seats, but then you won't be able to book it if you're using American Airlines miles or British Airways Avios. And the reason is because Qantas makes additional award inventory available to its own members.
Right.
So if you have some Qantas points, or if you sign up to Qantas, perhaps you've got a lot of city points and you can transfer city to Qantas, that could be useful. Domestically, there's not a lot of add-on charges for domestic award redemptions with Qantas, but just remember Qantas points, long haul, huge fuel surcharges, so generally not good value there. With the other problem that I quite often find is even with expert flyer, sometimes you may see award availability on domestic Qantas flights, particularly business class, but AmericanAirlines.com won't see it and you won't be able to book it even through a phone agent. And that's just a case of some phantom. It's not quite phantom award availability. It's something, but let's just call it that. Either way, you can see it, you can't book it, but it's not the usual problem of AA.com shows it, but you can't book it. So therefore, if you're not going to use Qantas.com to do your award search, British Airways website is probably going to be better. If British Airways can see it, then both BA and AA should be able to book using that. Now, that said, I would also just do a cache search. And, you know, honestly, Google Flights is just going to be your simplest to do that. Or, you know, for listeners that prefer to use ITA, that's fine as well. Sometimes flights can be quite, you know, can be quite cheap. Australian dollars, depending, you know, sometimes you'll see Melbourne-Sydney flights, you know, less than $100 sometimes. So it might work out that, you know what, it's too much, you know, you don't want to waste points and miles depending on what currency you've got them in, and paying cash might not be so unreasonable. Remember, that's Australian dollars as well, so it's a better deal. Sure. If you're paying with US.
What do you think about Qantas's award availability as we get closer to the trip? Are they likely to release domestic availability in the, you know, 3 to 5 months prior to a departure? Sure. Date,
you know, actually, look, that's a great question, Ed. So I find that when the schedule releases, typically, and I'll say this is typical, but it can change from day to day. Typically, they'll have availability when they release the schedule. Yes, 3 to 6 months in advance, sometimes it can open up. So if you're looking and you've got some time up your sleeve and you're a fan of using expert flyer alerts to let you know about availability for awards, it's a great option. If you did book, say, a coach seat, you can use points to upgrade to business. If there is U-Class availability, you can lock that upgrade in at any time domestically. If not, you can wait list and they'll process that literally up until the day of departure. But that said, of course, if there's advanced space available, you know, and you want to use points, you may as well just book the award in directly. One of the things I'll say is if you're flying again to tourist destinations like Ayers Rock, Cairns during peak times, it actually can be quite expensive for cash fares. So if awards are available, they're a great option.
Yeah, and I think she's got some options here. We don't know if she has city thank you points, so we'll certainly tag that as if the trip is more than 6 months away, I think there could be some value in applying for a card that that could earn some city thank you points to give you some options to book awards there. And then obviously, if she hasn't completely exhausted her supply of Chase Ultimate Rewards, she's got British Airways as a transfer partner there to move some points over and do an Avios booking if something were to pop up. As you say, the award availability is not going to be quite as great as if she was booking with Qantas directly, but those would be the two paths combined with, in my opinion, using Expert Flyer, which I think is a great tool to seek out this sort of award availability.
Absolutely. And look, to be honest, I can't remember the last time I've used Qantas points to redeem domestically in Australia. Generally, when I will redeem, obviously it's in business class. If I'm going to fly economy, I'll usually just pay the cash fare. But British Airways for the short flights, you know, under 1,200 miles, is usually my go-to there because the points and cash option with the Avios can be an absolute steal. On those shorter distance routes. And then American Airlines miles, you know, it's the flat 20,000 points for business class pretty much anywhere within Australia. So that can be a really good deal going from Melbourne or Sydney across to Perth, which often is in the fully lie flat configuration with the business suites on the, you know, A380 aircraft.
All right, so there you have it, Kathy. Not maybe the perfect answer, but hopefully some good tips for how you can do your searching over the next few months before your trip. Dave, thanks again for coming on with us. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Catch@loyalty.com, or if not, I'll be around somewhere.
Sounds good. Safe travels, Dave. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ed. Great to have you.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. It's the first time I've ever released a podcast episode the week of Christmas, so I have no idea if anyone's actually listening this week. If you are, let me take a moment to thank you. As the first year of Miles to Go draws to a close, I really can't say how much I've enjoyed putting together each episode. I know I say that a lot during the episodes, but I really mean it. It's just it's a very different type of fun from writing for the blog and answering your questions. There have been moments of frustration along the way. Don't get me wrong. I've learned to be a better podcaster starting out with, you know, virtually no knowledge about how to record an episode, how to publish an episode, how to promote an episode. But I hope over the course of the last, you know, 10 months or so, the episodes have improved for you guys. On my side, it's moved from utter chaos to organized chaos. 2018 saw me move my focus away from my blog a bit, Pizza in Motion, for those that have followed me there. I launched this podcast, Miles to Go, and a second podcast, Now Boarding. I didn't know at the time how much time all of that would take. I still love to write, and I've heard from plenty of you folks that want me to do more of that. Fear not, I figured out how not to sleep in 2019. And I should get back to a more regular posting schedule. We're also working on some other fun stuff for the show, like transcripts and stuff like that, to help make the show more digestible for you guys. 2018 also marks the 10th year I've been writing my blog. That's a long time and a lot of words. In that time, my wife and I gave birth to our second child, and our oldest son is now in middle school. If that doesn't make me feel old, I don't know what does. We've been plenty of places, from Gettysburg to Greece, Sicily to Salzburg, and I've really enjoyed having each of you along for the ride. Helping folks travel better is something that started out just as a whim and a hobby 10 years ago and has certainly grown over the time, and I still really enjoy every time I can help one of you answer a question and travel just a little bit better. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. It's our full wrap on what will likely be the last episode of 2018. I look forward to bringing you a bunch more shows in 2019. Lastly, if you've got a question we can help answer in the new year, send us an email, or you can use the new orange tab on our website to leave a voicemail. Head over to miles2go.boardingarea.com, click on the send voicemail tab, and we'll get your question answered in a future episode. Definitely want to thank everybody who's been a guest this year that helped make the show a success, helped all the folks that helped produce it, Mike and Chris and Trevor. I want to thank specifically this episode, Summer, Jen, and David, for helping me put together a great show for you guys this week. In anticipation of the holidays, I already have a bunch of stuff scheduled and recorded. So we've got Seth Miller coming up. We've got stuff on Vegas travel. We've got an interview coming up with an author. We've got how to protect your American Airlines account from being hacked. We've got a bunch of great stuff over the next few weeks. We're already putting together a great show for next week. But until then, we've got miles to go.